Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Galatians. I'd like for us to begin studying tonight in the book of Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Earlier we've been studying about how Satan is the number one deceiver and how Satan is going to and fro in the earth seeking whom he may devour. Satan is the most effective deceiver that there is. He began in the Garden of Eden. The book of Revelation talks about how Satan is a deceiver of the whole world. So Satan has been deceiving from the beginning of time. I believe he'll be deceiving as long as this world continues. We also have tried to look at the fact that many people are deceivers. Not only is Satan a deceiver, but he has many messengers. He has angels that are transformed into messengers of righteousness. Then there are children of God who are on the wrong path, and they deceive other children of God, so they're leading them astray. Then we began earlier today looking at the fact that the Word of God says, but be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So we deceive ourselves, and that's what we'll be, the Lord willing, to continue to look at. That we deceive ourselves. If we're just hearing the Word of God and we're not doing what God's Word says, then we're deceiving our own selves. Jesus says that if we hear the sayings of Him, if we hear His sayings and we don't do them, then we're like a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and great was the fall of it. So, doesn't matter how much of the Word of God we can quote, if we're not doers of God's Word, then we're deceiving our own selves and our houses will fall. Another item we looked at this morning is in James 1:26. It says, if any man among you seem to be religious, he seems to be religious. This is not someone that on the surface appears to be a heathen. It's people that seem to be religious. Any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Tonight we'll be looking, Lord willing, in Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Galatians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. The Word of God says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So that's another way that the Word of God sets forth that the people of God sometimes deceive themselves, is that we sometimes think that we are something when in reality we are nothing. And when we think that we're something when we are in fact nothing, then we are deceiving ourselves. We sometimes, the Word of God said, warns us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Now, let me say that. You notice it says not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Now, there are some things that we ought to think. There are some good things about you that you ought to think about. You ought not to think about how great you are because of what you've accomplished or what you can do or anything like that. That's where we make erroneous thinking. But I need to know that I am a redeemed child of God. I'm something because of what Jesus has done for me. I'm a redeemed child of God. I'm a child of the King. I belong to God, and because I belong to God, I am something. I ought to think about the fact that I am a redeemed child of God. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's all right to declare that Jesus has paid for your sins. You need to tell others about what Jesus has done for you and what Jesus is doing for you and what Jesus is going to do for you. So it's all right to rejoice and to think about what we are because of what Christ has done for us. But the error comes when we begin to think we are something when we think that we have accomplished something in our lives because of our own doing. Without Jesus helping us, then we are nothing and less than nothing. The Word of God says that no flesh should glory in His presence. Now, I sometimes glory in myself. Do any of you ever glory in yourself? Sometimes I glory in my children. Sometimes I get too proud of my children or my grandchildren, and I think more highly of them than I ought to think. I want you to understand that what the Word of God is telling us here is that we ought not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We need to understand that if a man thinketh that he is something when he is nothing, then we deceive ourselves. And we need to understand our children and our grandchildren, they accomplish things not just because you have done something, not just because they are descendants of you, not just because you have taught them something, but they're something because of what God has done in them. We need to give the glory to God. God will not give His glory to another. So when we think that we or our family is something, when in fact we are nothing without God's help, then we deceive ourselves. Let's go back for just a moment. I want us to think about two individuals that they thought they were something when they were nothing. Now, they were powerful men. They were great men. They had authority and they had power. But the only reason they had that power was because God had helped them. It's because God had lifted them up. It's because God had blessed their lives, and they were something, but they weren't something because of what they had done by themselves or in their flesh. They were something because of what God had blessed them to become in their lives. The most prominent one in my mind is Nebuchadnezzar. Please turn back in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 4. I want to remind you that Daniel was an individual that thought he was something. He thought he was a great man. He thought he had accomplished great things, and he was nothing. And he would not have accomplished any of those things without God's help. So he was thinking that he was something when he was nothing. And do you know who he was deceiving? He was deceiving himself. Daniel chapter 4, listen, beginning in verse 30. Daniel chapter 4, beginning in verse 30, the Word of God says, the king, that's Nebuchadnezzar, the king spake and said. Now again, was he something? He was the king of Babylon. He was the most powerful man on the earth at this time. And he had deceived himself into thinking he had accomplished all of those great things. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built? How did Babylon get so great? Was it the power of the king? Was it the wisdom of Nebuchadnezzar? Was it the strength that he had? Was it his armies? What was it that had caused Babylon to be so great? It was God who had blessed them. It was God not only who had blessed Babylon, it was God who had blessed Nebuchadnezzar to be the king of Babylon. He says, it's not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power. Do you hear his boasting there? Do you hear that he's thinking that he is something when he is nothing? By the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. He was glorying in himself. He was refusing and failing to give the glory to God. The next verse says, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. He lost his kingdom. And you and I, though we might be blessed sometimes to be in the kingdom of heaven, we can lose the kingdom when we think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. When we think that we are something and we are nothing. When we think that we deserve the blessings of God, we deceive ourselves. This king, Nebuchadnezzar, deceived himself. He thought he had accomplished all that he had done, and the kingdom was departed from him. And then he lived like an animal. Come down to verse 33. It's hard to imagine a man going from the high, lofty position that Nebuchadnezzar was in to the lowest that we ever read about in the Word of God, who lived like an animal, who looked like an animal, who acted like an animal. He went from extreme position of authority to living and looking like an animal. In Daniel 4, verse 33, the Word of God says, "The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen." I want you to know this literally happened. He, the king of Babylon, he lost his kingdom. And he went out and he began to eat grass. He was driven away from men and he ate grass as the oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven. That tells me he was living outside in the elements of this world. He had lost that palace. He had lost the kingdom. He had lost all of his friends. And he was living out in the wild, living out in the open. And his body, the dew of heaven was all over his body till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers. Do you picture what he looked like right then? His hair was grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Now that was a wild looking man. It was a terrible condition for any man to have to be brought that low. But to whom much is given, much is required. And that servant that is blessed by God to be lifted up and have all these blessings, when that individual begins to think he is something when he is nothing, when that individual, me or you or anyone else, God is no respecter of persons, when any child of God has been blessed by God and lifted up and blessed to sit together in heavenly places in the kingdom of heaven, and then he thinks he is something when he is nothing, he's going to be brought down. And so the next verse says at the end, verse 34, "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven." I want you to notice the next phrase says, "And mine understanding returned unto me." I believe with all of my heart that before Nebuchadnezzar was ever lifted up to be the king, he understood that he forgot. I think every one of us in this building, there have been times in our lives that we knew that without God's help, that we're nothing. That we knew and we understood we can't do anything, we can't make it another day without God's help. But then when things go well and we begin to prosper and we begin to do better and feel better and have more, we tend to think we are something when in fact we are nothing. All that we have, all that we are, all that we accomplish that's good, it's all because of God. It's all because of Jesus. "So his understanding returned unto me," he says, "and mine understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation." He talks about the greatness of God in verse 34. The first thing he declares is how great thou art. And then verse 35, he talks about what we are. He says in verse 35, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing." Brother Woodrow Beasley used to preach about nothing sometimes. And he would say, nothing is like a teacher on a blackboard. And a lot of people don't know what a blackboard is today. But he would say, it's a teacher taking a blackboard and taking a piece of chalk and putting a zero up on that blackboard. But he said that zero is still something. It's a zero. And then you take that zero with an eraser and you erase that zero. Then you have nothing. And that's what we are, is nothing and less than nothing. There's no good in us except that God has put in us. There's no desire in us to do good before God comes and makes us have that desire. There's no ability to please God until God gives us that ability. So do you understand that anything we've ever accomplished or ever will accomplish in the future, it's only because of God's grace that we have accomplished anything in our lives. If there be any good in you, it's God that put that good there. If there's anything good you've ever accomplished, it's God that blessed you to accomplish that. So he says in verse 35, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he that is God doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. I'll tell you, you're talking about a strong army. That's the army of heaven. The army of the Syrian army, the Babylonian army. There was no army that could compete with the army of heaven. You remember when Elijah and his armor bearer or his friend, you remember when they were so afraid, or his friend was so afraid, and Elisha was his friend was so afraid, and he prayed, Lord, open his eyes and let him see. You know what he saw? He saw the army of God. That army of God, brethren, is the only reason America is still on the map today. There's an army of God around us. It's not our military. It's not our strength. It's not our defensive missiles. It's not drones. It's not anything else we've got. The only reason we're still on the map is because of God's army still watching over us and keeping us from being destroyed. We're not a great nation anymore. We were a great nation. But do you know what we began to think as a nation? We're something. We're something. And the reality was, we were nothing without God. God lifted us up. God blessed America. And then America forgot God. And so we deceived ourselves as a nation. And so Nebuchadnezzar says, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And God doeth according to his will in the army of heaven. Anybody here want to stand against the army of heaven? Nah. But God does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Do you hear that expression, none can stay his hand? Listen, a lot of people say, let God do this. Let God come into your heart. Let me tell you something. The God of this Bible, you don't let him do anything. He is more powerful than you and everybody on this earth. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. When it pleases him to do something, he does it, and you and nobody else can stop him. And if you think you can let him do something, you think you're something, and you're nothing. You need to read what God's word has to say about what you are. You need to read what God's word says about the power of God and the weakness of man. In verse 37, listen. After he's restored, verse 37 says, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Did he learn something? Do you think he knew it a long time ago? He knew it and he forgot it. So God taught him by his experience, not just by saying, now read this scripture. God taught him. God put him through some hell here on this earth. And he learned that lesson well. He learned very well those that walk in pride. What had he just done? What had Nebuchadnezzar earlier? What had he done in this chapter? He had walked in pride. All that walk in pride, all that think that they're something when they're nothing, he is able to what? He is able to abase. Herod is another one I thought about earlier today. And turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 12, I'm mentioning two powerful men because there's nobody here that has as much power as either one of those two men. There's nobody here that has as much authority. In fact, there's nobody on the earth that has that much authority. Acts chapter 12. Look at Acts chapter 12, beginning in verse 21. Acts chapter 12. Remember now, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. You want to brag? You want to brag? You know what you're doing when you brag? You're thinking you're something, but you're nothing. Acts chapter 12, verse 21. The word of God says, and upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel. Does he look good? He arrayed in royal apparel. He sat upon his throne. Does he have a mighty throne just like Nebuchadnezzar had back there in Daniel chapter 4? And made an oration unto them. He spoke beautifully. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Brethren, that's what will happen to the people of God when they exalt themselves and when they forget how great God is, and they begin to think how great they are. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians just a moment. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. It's a basic principle that you all know, but I just want us to be reminded. There's a reason. Listen, I told Mom and I told Teresa this afternoon, I said, you know, I'm amazed when I study the Word of God. I don't think I've ever preached, you know, a series like what we're doing right now on this subject. But it's amazing to me. It's the most beautiful thing in all the Bible right now. It's the most needful thing in all the Bible to me right now is the things that we're looking at. I don't want to be deceived by Satan. But I know that without God's help, he can deceive me. I don't want to be deceived by other men. But I know that without God's help, men can deceive me. And I certainly don't want to deceive myself. But I know that I do deceive myself sometimes. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Remember now, the text says that if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7 says, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Do you know where every good gift you have came from? Every good gift you have. Do you know where my wonderful wife came from? She came from the Lord. You know where my children came from? They came from the Lord. You know where my grandchildren came from? They came from the Lord. You know where my children's spouses came from? They came from the Lord. Do you know where everything that you're able to do that's good, the Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. All the gifts you have, all the blessings that you have, all the knowledge of truth that you have, everything that you have that's good, it came from God. You didn't figure out truth. You didn't even figure out that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. You haven't figured out anything in God's Word. You didn't figure out the doctrines of election and predestination and salvation by grace. And you didn't figure out the truth about the kingdom of heaven. And you are not the one that figured out the difference in eternal heaven and kingdom of heaven. You're not the one that understands the difference in salvation being by grace versus the salvation here that has to do with works. You didn't figure any of that out. I didn't figure any of that out. If you know anything at all, it's God that gave you that knowledge. God gave it to you. Blessed art thou, because flesh and blood has not revealed anything to you, but our Father in heaven is the one that revealed that truth to you. You know, I love to have somebody say something that someone has said in the last 24 hours yesterday and today, that coming to the house of God and having God warn them and speak to them and show them things that they need to improve on, that's a blessing. You know what? When a person tells you, my feelings got hurt today, and they're not mad at me, but their feelings are hurt because they see, oh, there's some wicked way in me. If you don't come to the house of God and you don't ever see anything that's wrong with you, may the Lord have mercy. And if you're spending your time looking at what's wrong with somebody else, may the Lord have mercy. God is the one who has made you to differ from another. If you know how to raise children, please, don't look down at somebody that's messing up, because P.S., you'll find out you didn't know as much as you thought you did about raising children. And whatever it is that's in your life that you think God's blessing you with, you better remember, if you think you're something when you're nothing, you're just deceiving your own self. The Apostle Paul understood this great truth about who made him what he was. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10, he says, I am the least of the apostles. Let me read that. Look, go forward in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Listen to verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 9, the Apostle Paul says, for I am the least of the apostles. Was he right to say that? Was the Apostle Paul right to say that? Now, you and I may look at him, and we may think he was the biggest and most powerful apostle, but I'll tell you, he was feeling right. He was thinking right here when he says, I am the least of the apostles. I've been called to be an apostle, and I am the least of the apostles. Now, he didn't just write those words down. He felt what he was writing down when he said, I am the least of the apostles. I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet. I am not worthy to be called an apostle. Did you know you're not even worthy, and I'm not even worthy to be called a child of God? We're not worthy of that. We're not worthy. I think the Apostle John understood that when he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Absolutely amazing that God would have us. That God would have us. That God would have us in any way, but that God would adopt us into His family, and that God would quicken us, and God would say, "This is my child. This is my child. This is my child." Are you something? Are you something? Heads are going both ways. Well, you are something. You're a child of God. You see, the Bible says not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think. You ought to think and understand, I'm a child of God, redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. I owe God everything because of who I am. The Apostle Paul worked harder than any other apostle because he realized the amazing grace of God in letting him be an apostle. And you ought to be working harder than anyone else because you realize I'm not worthy to be called a child of God. I'm not worthy to have the truth shown to me. I'm not worthy to have all the blessings that I have. I am something by the grace of God. I persecuted the church of God. He says in verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Do you hear that? That's what we better remember every day. It's by the grace of God I am what I am. And then he says, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Oh, sounds like he's boasting, doesn't it? I labored more abundantly. Does that sound like he's boasting? Could that sound like it's boasting? Watch what he does. I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You follow that? As soon as he's declaring a truth about what he was doing, he immediately follows that up and says, now, the only reason I was doing all that hard work was because it was the grace of God that was with me. The only reason he accomplished anything was because the grace of God was with him. Just remember the words of Jesus in closing in John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. I'm just going to quote one part of it. It says, Jesus says this, and he's talking about abiding in the branch. I mean, the branch abiding in the vine, that's what you are, is branches, branches. You know what a branch can do once it's cut off or broken off of the vine? You know what a branch can do? There's only one thing it can do, Brother John. What is that branch? It can wither and die. That's all it can do. And that's all you'll do without Christ is wither and die. And Jesus comes on down in John 15 and verse 5, and he says, without me, ye can do nothing. That's what we are without Christ. We're nothing. We're nothing. We're of no value whatsoever. But with Christ, I can do all things. May God help us to rejoice in the amazing grace of God.